And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. How you doing, Mickey?
Doing well. Still in Vancouver.
Yeah, you've kicked off 2011 with a flurry of travel activity, including a fairly lengthy stop in Vancouver. You're on Canada's west coast for, what is it, it's been about 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, 2.5 weeks now, and it's been a busy time, Rob.
Yeah, it's mining conference time in Vancouver. Fill us in. What was taking place?
Well, this year there were four conferences back-to-back. Started with the Yukon Room e-conference. It was very well attended, and I gave a presentation basically trying to enable investors to separate the very few contenders from the many pretenders in the Yukon area gold plays. Mm-hmm. And that was followed up immediately by a critical metals summit. And, I don't really subscribe to the idea of critical metals, but I would call these things specialty metals. And that was quite interesting. So covered some of the minor metals that are increasingly getting play in the media and also in the commodities market, because China basically has announced that they are stockpiling. And there's probably a list of, besides the rare earth elements, we'll put them into one category. Mm-hmm. There's about another 15 metals or so that we would call specialty metals that don't trade on the world market. Following that was the usual Cambridge House show. I gave a workshop and was also on a rare earth element panel on that. And then we talked before about the Roundup being the hoopla that mm-hmm. goes on when all the geologists come in from all over the world and get together. Mm-hmm. So that was a period from start to finish about 12 days.
Oh, boy, nonstop action. I've seen you in action, by the way, behind a podium, and I must say, Mickey, that you can put on a pretty slick, polished presentation.
Well, thank you very much, Rob.
I'm intrigued this, though, the theme for one of your talks. You mentioned separating the pretenders from the companies that have a legitimate story to tell and legitimate prospects. Don't want to go into any great depth on that right now, because I think that'd be a great topic for a future show, but can you summarize for us what your message was there?
Well, the message, and this was specifically related to Yukon area plays, the message is the same as always: share structure, people, projects, and undervalue. But when you get these area plays, I think even more so, there's a lot of people that just flood in for the hype and the ability to promote stock. So you've got to be especially careful in those instances. And I gave a couple of picks and used a couple mm-hmm. of examples of companies that are presently overvalued and some that maybe perhaps are goodbyes at this point.
Okay, well, tell us about the general mood at these conferences. You mentioned there was four of them in a row, back to back to back to back. I would imagine that it was a pretty upbeat feeling there. Certainly, the metals prices have been cooperating.
Well, I'd have to say the general mood was boisterous, if not full of elation. I think that everybody thinks that the secular bull market in commodities has a long way to go. I would not disagree with that. But by the same token, there was a lot of talk, and I probably initiated a significant amount of that talk with the idea that when everybody is this bullish, it's time to be very cautious. And mm-hmm. in my opinion right now, it's time to take profits, and I have been taking profits off the table. This market, in all the junior resource market, looks a little bit overblown, a little bit oversold right now, and when everybody's bullish is probably when I tend to start thinking it's time to be a contrarian and take some money off the table.
Yeah, it's interesting that you brought up that point, because just the other day, Mickey, I was speaking with a newsletter type who attended one of the events that you were at, and he was talking about the euphoric mood at this thing, and saying that he thought he was, you know, that made him a little bit concerned about just where things were headed. He felt that some of the stocks of these juniors had moved too far, and that the gains really did not accurately reflect the level of risk that is built into many junior exploration projects. And people, I guess, in some cases have just forgotten all about that, and they've just jumped in with both feet.
Well, that's kind of what people do, you know. It mm-hmm. becomes this the fear that you're going to miss the next big thing, and the greed that comes in. when markets are like this. So it's just, to me, a time to be cautious.
Okay, and when you have large events jammed together in a relatively short stretch like you've just gone through, I'm sure there was some whining and dining along the way, sandwiched between meetings and media appearances. Saw you on BNN. Very nice talk, by the way. How do you position yourself, though, so that you can come out of a 2-week stretch like this feeling that you really maximized all the opportunities that were thrown your way?
Well, I don't think all you do is stay busy as a bee, and that's what I tend to do. And it's impossible in these sorts of scenarios to make all the contacts, see all the people you want to, but you just keep plugging away and you get done what you get done. And some things obviously are going to go by the wayside, and you hope you haven't missed any great opportunities. If you do miss opportunities, I don't think you can look back and say, oh, I missed that stock. I should have bought it at this price, and now it's doubled or tripled. You just go on, you find the next one.
Yeah. Any groans or in the room or rolling of eyes when you told the audience, you know what, people, the good times are here, but don't get carried away, and maybe it's time to put up a caution sign?
No, I don't think so. I think people appreciate those sorts of honest answers. So I basically, you know me well enough to know, Rob, that I speak my mind, and if I see things, I'm going to let people know, because the whole goal of this operation that my team and I have is to educate the lay investor and enable him to make more money. Then he keeps putting money in the market, more liquidity, more boisterous markets. Win-win situation.
Okay, and wrapping up, Mickey, you're off to the Big Apple very soon. What's on the agenda in New York City?
Well, I'm going to New York. I've been invited to speak at a luncheon, investors luncheon, one of these boutique shows, and give a keynote address on very much what we've just talked about, and it's in rare earth element space, but how to separate the pretenders from the very few contenders. So we'll talk about that. We'll give some examples, and we'll make some top picks in the RE sector. Hopefully you're going to leverage that with a couple of TV appearances, and then I'll be back in Vancouver. I'm scheduled to go on a red-eye tonight and return on a red-eye Friday morning, or Saturday morning.
I hope you have somebody, you know, doing the vacuuming and the chores when you're away, because you're... I don't know when you're home. The neighbors will be complaining.
If nobody's home, the house doesn't get dirty.
Okay, good point. All right, next time out, a couple of weeks from now, what do you want to focus on?
I think we have to talk about uranium. The uranium market has really gone off since the first of the year. Spot price of uranium's up nearly $13 in, 4 weeks? Started the year at $60.50. It came out last night at $73. Uranium stocks are starting to roll, and we got to give some tips on how to get in on this big play.
Okay, looking forward to it. Thanks very much, Mickey, and travel safe.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, that is Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.